Good morning. Please stand in the presence of the Lord as he brings his word as we read it together from Ephesians chapter 6. Ephesians 6, hear now the word of the Lord. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother. This is the first commandment with a promise, that it may go well with you and that you may live long in the land. Fathers, do not provoke your children to anger, but bring them up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord. The grass withers and the flower fades, but the word of God will abide forever. Let us pray. Our mighty God and our Father, we thank you for this word before us, and we pray that you'll help us to hear it aright. We pray, O Lord, that through your Spirit we may gain greater understanding, an understanding that leads to action and a life filled with joyful obedience to your word out of gratitude for the great redemption that we have in Christ Jesus. I pray your blessing upon the preacher and the people as you speak to us today in Christ's name. Amen. You may be seated. You'll be grateful to learn that I can keep Sunday school and the service straight, so I will not be leading you in a recitation of Greek paradigms this morning. That will be later. I must say I was surprised to learn that you're working on Greek, even more surprised you're using that particularly odious book that I'm very familiar with. Our passage today is really quite easy to understand, and in a sense it's rather embarrassing to open it for you, because you can just read it for yourselves and understand it pretty well. But because this is a sermon, and it is my obligation to not only to use 3 points, children, in bringing the message to you, because that's an obligation of all sermons, right, to have 3 points, as well as to make sure you obey the word. So I'm going to now give you the sermon with 3 points. Children, you should really, really, really obey. So there's your 3 points. And we'll end with really at the end, okay? Now, it is a simple message, isn't it? It's a simple passage. It's not difficult to understand the words here. But, you know, this passage has a context. And it's that context that makes it so exciting. Now, I'm sure you children are looking at this and saying, so he's saying that obeying my parents is exciting, right? Did I hear him correctly? Yes, actually you did. Obeying your parents is an exciting thing. It's exciting because it's a way for you to please the Lord even now. It's a way for you to enjoy the Lord's blessings even now in your minority, as your children. And we'll see the other exciting points of the passage as we go through it. But, you know, it's a particularly important passage for us today because of the context of our lives. You know, I don't know if you have paid attention to family movies lately. We regularly will rent a DVD and watch a family movie. The one that I recall offhand that had the same tired message I've heard over and over from Hollywood was Tim Allen and the Shaggy Dog movie. Maybe you've seen that. But it's the same tired sermon you hear over and over from Hollywood, and that is, fathers are stupid and troublesome creatures that have to be taught to repent, and children know everything, and they're always right. Now, this is a sermon you hear from Hollywood over and over and over. These movies always present, particularly the fathers, as idiots, or people so absorbed in their work they really have no interest in their children. Now, granted, we live in a world where families are fractured, even in the church. We are not immune from these sinful patterns that we are struggling to overcome. That's granted, brothers and sisters. But this message that you hear from Hollywood is presented as normative, that children are being taught by watching these movies yeah, well, you know, dad's just sort of like that. He's just sort of stupid, and we got to put up with him. And the mother is sort of ineffective or whatever the message is in that particular movie. The ones that really get me are when the children are just overtly disrespectful to their parents. Now, the antidote to that is not simply bludgeoning children. I hope you saw I was kidding earlier when I said, you know, really, really obey. The antidote is not to bludgeon our children with this commandment, obey your parents, without any context to it, without understanding what Paul is doing in this passage, because there's a bigger context in this passage that makes this a rich, important message that will be a joy to obey and not some grim duty. Well, let me point to some of that past, some of that context. As you work through Ephesians, of course, Ephesians is this rich little book. It's a book where the word lavish is most striking. God has lavished His grace upon us. He's overwhelmed us with joyful gifts. He's overwhelmed us with His rich grace in His Son who died for us. And He has seated us in the high heavenlies with Him. Now, this is a book where that's the emphasis all the way up into chapter 4. And it's only then that he turns to, well, how do we respond in gratitude? But in chapter 5, he reiterates that. Now, listen to this. This is chapter 5, verses 1 and 2. Here's part of the context of this commandment in chapter 6 to obey. Therefore, be imitators of God as beloved children. And walk in love as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us, a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God. You see, the context is the gospel. That's always the context of our lives here on earth. Any obedience we have has to be out of gratitude for the free gift of God received by faith alone. Acceptance into his family. We are all children of God. You see, children, your parents are children too. They're children of the Heavenly Father who gave His Son for them as well as for you. And as children, they are to obey the Lord also. So it's not like your parents are this autonomous, you know, masters of the universe, as sometimes we might appear. You know, it's hard being a kid. In a sense, in another sense, it's not. Because, first of all, it's hard because, you know, you think, well, look, you know, they're all controlling. You know, as you're a three-year-old, a five-year-old, you live your life and your parents are omniscient. They know everything. They tell you what to do. You do it on this schedule and you've just got to do it, or there are consequences. But then you grow up and the hard part is figuring out that they're human. I remember the day when I discovered that my father was a human being. Now, I was 17 years old. Maybe I'm a little slow. My dad's sort of a strong-willed guy, you know. But I remember clearly the day. I'm serious. I clearly remember that day. It was such a revelation. And it was actually my sister that helped me. She said, you know, they're human. And since then, I've always had a better relation with my parents, you know, because they're human beings. They weren't just this, you know, perfect, you know, sort of a omniscient Wizard of Oz that, you know, can do everything. But you see, children, part of how you know that you are in good hands, and this is the second point, is they are children of the Heavenly Father, and they're trying to do what is right. Because they already have proven to you that they're trying to do what is right. Now, there is obvious and profound evidence of that today. Children, your parents brought you here to bring you into the assembly of the living God and His people is one of the greatest blessings you could ever have. It's a gift that is to be treasured. And all you would have to do is, let's say you're a young teen, is to go pay a visit on the mission field where people don't have that privilege. Some of our students, you know, have either come from those places or go there as missionaries. And the stories you hear, some of our African students, for example, one guy who serves 12 congregations on any Sunday, he travels to where people gather out in the fields and he ministers, then he goes on and ministers to another group. And he might not make it that week for rain or some other reason. So there are places where the people of God are gathered, but they hear not the word from a minister because there's no one there. This is a great privilege that you have today. Your parents have brought you here. And the thing to keep in mind is that you belong here. You see, the rich part of this passage is just three little words. Children, obey your parents in the Lord. You see, the Lord owns you as his own. This is why you were baptized. It's because the Lord has taken ownership of you, no matter how small you are. You are his. I won't read this passage because it has some grim sides to it. But parents, read this sometime. Read Ezekiel 16:20-21. Ezekiel 16:20-21 sometime. I won't read it because, you know, it's actually rather grim. But what's fascinating about the passage is the Lord's attitude toward the children of his people. He says, the children you bore to me. And he says, you did this to my children. And this is just characteristic of the Lord's attitude toward our children. He says, they're mine. I own them. They're my children. They're my heritage. Brothers and sisters, children, you are children in the Lord. The Lord has claimed you as one of his own. And so when you obey, this is how your parents, this is how you please the Lord. It's really rather simple. You see, you don't have to figure out what's the right thing to do. Notice how Paul says that. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. One of the hard parts about growing up, children, is knowing what's the right thing to do. Sometimes, when you become an adult, you twist yourself into a knot because you don't know what's the right thing to do in any situation. This is what wisdom means. You have to grow into wisdom. This is where Proverbs comes in. You have to discern what's the right thing to do in this situation. And it's not always easy. It takes experience. It takes meditation upon the Word. And to know what is right isn't easy to figure out. But children, you know every time what is right. And that is to obey your parents. It is really that simple. You know that it's the right thing to do every time. Obey your parents. And it's a right thing to do that the Lord looks upon with favor. Now, I know you're looking at this next verse 2 and 3 and saying, well, you know, if I do this, I'm going to get a reward on earth. I'm going to live long here on earth. Brothers and sisters, it's interesting how Paul quotes this, isn't it? He says, this is the first commandment with a promise, but he doesn't say that this promise is still here for us today. And I think it was very providential, interestingly, to have something be providential, right? Everything's providential. That you read Ecclesiastes, one of my favorite books, because it showed that living long on the earth may or may not be a great blessing. Because our heritage, our inheritance, our longing is not to live long in this earth, but to live long in the kingdom of God, purchased for us by the blood of the Savior. And so you see, there's a sense in which this promise is really not for us. What's interesting is Paul cuts out the really important part of that promise from the fifth commandment, and that is that you may live long in the land which the Lord your God has given you. In other words, Palestine. If you want to really be mechanical and say, well, this promise has to still be applied today, then your children are going to have to become Israeli citizens to live long. Because they're going to have to do it over there in Israel, the land which the Lord your God is giving you, because that's Israel. On the other side, though, there's a clear sense when you read Proverbs that being wise is better than being foolish. We heard that in Ecclesiastes, didn't we? It's better, and you will live longer, more joyfully when you are obedient to the Lord. This is just a natural principle. This is a principle that if you rob banks and steal cars and try to flee the police in a 120-mile-an-hour car chase, it's more likely you're going to crash and die. That's just kind of common sense wisdom. And so it is better to obey your parents. It is right to do, but it's also wise to do, and you will be blessed in that in a common way. But it might be your lot to die for the Lord. It might be your lot as a 30-year-old, let's say, who has obeyed his parents and who has served the Lord with great vigor and yet die in a motorcycle accident. You know who I'm thinking about, Matt Ball, my dear friend and one of our students who died this last summer. Why did he die? I don't know. And he wasn't the only friend of mine to die that way. Young man. Did he disobey his parents? Did he violate the law of God to such an extent that the Lord took him and didn't bless him with long life? No. Brothers and sisters, there's no reason to think that. He died in the Lord's service. And for him, it was undoubtedly a great blessing. For the rest of us, it's a trial that we live through and learn from and grow in, because that's the way life is today. So it is the right thing to do to obey your parents. And in general, you can say, yes, you will be blessed here on earth because you will avoid the common problems from law breaking and the ugliness of sin that leads to real significant problems in life, maybe even a shorter life. But you see, the real context of this is most important, is verse 4, that makes all of this work. And verse 4 shows that the obedience of children has another side to it. Fathers, do not provoke your children to anger, but bring them up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord. You see, the context of children's obedience has to be parents, and here he identifies fathers, we'll talk about that momentarily, parents who are requiring obedience, but it's an obedience to people who are guiding their children in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. You see, this is what makes obedience of the children satisfying and joyful and profitable for them. And parents, you've already started. You've brought your children here. This is part of fulfilling that commandment for fathers to nurture your children. And don't downplay the significance of this, bringing them into the assembly of the living God. But you see, they are obeying people who have their best interest at heart. The best interest is a heavenly interest. That we all together as children of God, with a Christ who has loved us so that he gave himself up for us in obedience to his Father, forms the context of our asking of obedience from our children. Now, notice how it says, provoke them not to anger. In the parallel passage in Colossians 3, it says so that they will not lose heart. They will not be discouraged. Now, why is that? Well, it's because of obedience. It's interesting that Paul says, children, obey your parents in the Lord. And then he quotes the fifth commandment, which says, children, honor your father and your mother. There's a difference between obedience and honor. It's possible to honor your parents with your lips. Remember the Old Testament, frequently the Lord charged his people, this people honors me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. It's possible to honor your parents in a way that is just outward. In the days of Paul, children would regularly stand up when the parents walked into the room. It's just a way to honor. This is actually why we stood today when the Bible was read. It's a way to honor the Lord. We stand in his presence. as a way of honor. If the President of the United States were to walk in here, we would probably all be asked to stand up. This is why in a courtroom, the judge walks in, all rise. It's a way to recognize the authority and to honor that position. Now, I'm not saying that children today should do that. There are other ways to honor your parents. But it's interesting, he doesn't say, children, honor your parents. He says, obey them. Now, it's actually harder to obey. You see, honoring you can do with your lips. You can do it with external ways of doing it. You can do it with your standing up or some other sign that you can get away with. Well, inwardly, there's this turmoil. But obeying takes an act of will. Obeying, you have to actually move your will to do it, even if you don't want to. Obeying is harder. And you see, if you have parents, if you have children who are obeying you, they're particularly vulnerable to being discouraged and stepped on, as it were. Because they've exposed themselves to you. They're obeying you. They're in subjection to you. And so it is your duty to now not provoke them to anger and frustration, you see, because they have willingly obeyed you. And they are vulnerable to you taking advantage of that and being an autocrat and demanding things that are unreasonable. And requiring of them things which are not wise. You see, you have to raise them in a way that is wise. But the core of it is in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. If we had time, I'd read you probably 20 passages I've collected where it talks about the admonition of the Lord or the reproof of the Lord and how parents are to reprove their children. You see, it's a way to express turning them aside from what is wrong. But then there's another side to that. In fact, this passage is full of examples of this. Let me show you. Turn with me to chapter 4, verse 28. Paul shows that there's a negative and a positive, and that's what's to guide parents in raising children, a negative and a positive. Look at 4:28. This is just one example of many passages here that have this structure. It says, "Let the thief no longer steal, but rather let him labor, doing honest work with his own hands, so that he may have something to share with anyone in need." There's a positive, or the negative starts. Let the thief quit stealing. Negative. Don't do that anymore. But notice how we're never left with just don't do that, don't do that, don't do that, don't do that. But rather, let him work and then be generous. Because it's incredible that he sees this, right? Because it's the nature of stealing to, one, be lazy and want to be rich quick, easily, and two, to be covetous, and to not be generous. There's no honor among thieves. They're not the ones that are likely to be here when the offering's taken, right? Unless they're trying to take something. It's just the nature of thievery. And notice how Paul says, well, don't be a thief. But then he says on the other side, develop this positively. Work and then be generous to give. So not only don't steal, but give. It's the opposite of stealing. And you see, that's how parents are to nurture their children. Yes, we are to guide them in saying, well, you really shouldn't do that. We're to help them develop wisdom in what not to do. But more positively, we are to nurture them in the fear and admonition of the Lord. We are to nurture them in how to positively please the Lord, how to grow up as children of God, because such they are. And that's the major most important context to keep in mind in this whole passage, and that is that our children, as well as we, belong to the Lord. He claims them. He commands them to come here today and to worship. It was a beautiful thing for me to see, you know, some of these little kids singing. I looked around, yeah, I admit it. Why? Because I just love to see it. I love to see children confessing the name of the Lord because you know you belong here. This is your congregation. And brothers and sisters, my heart, I constantly desire and pray for this, that the next generation of Christians will come from such as these. People who are strong in the Lord, whose lives are suffused with the gospel, who know the gospel through and through and will not be led away by the craftiness of deceit. Just look at chapter 4 sometime as it opens up. It says, this is what the ministers are all about, to keep us from that crafty deceit of evil doctrine. And our children, nurtured in the truth of God here in the gospel, won't be led astray, God willing. And they'll be the ones to preserve and advance the gospel in the next generation as the core. Yes, we need converts, but we also need strong Christian leaders who have known Christ from infancy, who will stand in the evil day and help others to stand as well. That's my prayer for you, that you, as you nurture your children in the fear and admonition of the Lord, will do so knowing that they are heirs of eternal life, as are you. They are ones that the Lord claims as His own, because He says, children, obey your parents in the Lord. He says to parents, bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. And it's the Lord Jesus who is identified here as the Lord. He is the Lord that Paul has in mind. And it's the same one who, though he had a right to, refuse his father and say, no, I will not go down to become incarnate. No, I will not go. Though you send me, I will not go to that shameful cross. And yet he did, because he obeyed his father. You know, this is the common repeated theme in the book of John. I came not to do my own will, but the will of the one who sent me. It is for this reason I came. Should I shirk it? No, because he joyfully obeyed his father to claim you and your children forever. Praise the Lord. Let us pray. Almighty God, our Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word, which is rich and full of life and vitality for us. Though sometimes we read it in a way that is mechanical, perhaps even scary, it could be difficult for circumstances of my brothers and sisters here to understand how to nurture their children. I pray that you will give them wisdom and insight into that wonderful high task, a task which has such rich promise for the next generation. And, oh Lord, we pray that you'll raise up our children to hold fast and to stand firm in the evil day with the full armor of God, that they may turn back the wiles and evils of the world and its prince, and that you would hold them fast so that they would be strong in the Lord and their lives would be suffused with praise and knowledge of the grace of God in Christ, the free salvation. I pray your rich mercies upon us in this congregation through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.